Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Gopi Janna Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Jai Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivada Dadi. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Soda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai 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 Om Vishnu Pad Parvahanga Parivad Gacharya Astrataratha Sisri Maris Divine Grace Abhay Charnarvind Bhakti Virata Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Skan Vividhi Founder Charges Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Kodi Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Nittai Gaura Premanandi. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to the sum of devotees. All glories to see Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pradastaya Bhadri. Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namini Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Vichari Vishesha Sunyavadi Pastatari Satarini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd Canto, Chapter 2, entitled The Lord in the Heart. And I think we're on text number 7. Is that correct? No, I believe we're on 7. Yeah. We're on text number 7. Okay. We're having some technical difficulties. Otherwise, I can just read the verse. Okay. Text number 7. And then if we get it together, we can do the word for word and translation. Kastam tvanadhritya parananuchintam prate pashun asatim namakuryat Pashyan janam patitam vaitaranyam sakarma jamparita panjushasam. Please repeat. Kas. Who else? Tam. That. Tu. But. Anadritya. By neglecting. Parananuchintam, transcendental thoughts. Rate, without. Pashun, the materialists. Asatim, in the non-permanent. Nama, name. Kuryat, will adopt. Pashyan, seen definitely. Janam, the general mass of people. Patitam, fallen. Vaitaranyam, in Vaitarani, the river of suffering. Sokarmajan, produced from one's own work. Paritapan, suffering. Jusanam, being overtaken by. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Translation. Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only? Seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as the consequence of accruing the result of their own work. Please repeat. Who else but the gross materialists will neglect such transcendental thought and take to the non-permanent names only? Seeing the mass of people fallen in the river of suffering as the consequence of accruing the result of their own work. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that persons who are attached to demigods to the exclusion of the Supreme Personality of... In the Vedas, it is said that persons who are attached to the demigods to the exclusion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are like the animals who follow the herdsmen even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. The materialists, like animals, also do not know how they are being misdirected by neglecting the transcendental thoughts of the Supreme Person. No one can remain vacant of thought. It is said that an idle brain is a devil's workshop, because a person who cannot think in the right way must think of something which may bring about disaster. The materialists are always worshipping some minor demigods, although this is condemned in Bhagavad Gita 7:20. As long as a person is illusioned by material gains, he petitions the respective demigods to draw some particular benefit, which is, after all, illusory and non-permanent. The enlightened transcendentalist is not captivated by such illusory things. Therefore, he is always absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme in different stages of realization, namely Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. In the previous verse, it is suggested that one should think of the Supersoul, which is one step higher than the impersonal thought of Brahman, as it was suggested in the case of contemplating the Virata Rupa of the Personality of Godhead. Intelligent persons who can see properly may look into the general conditions of the living entities who are wandering in the cycle of 8,400,000 species of life, as well as in different classes of human beings. It is said that there is an everlasting belt of water called the River Vaitarani at the entrance of the plutonic planet of Yamaraj, who punishes sinners in different manners. After being subjected to such sufferings, a sinner is awarded a particular species of life according to his deeds in the past. Such living entities as are punished by Yamaraj are seen in different varieties of conditioned life. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are in hell. Some of them are brahmanas, and some of them are misers. But no one is happy in this material world, and all of them are either class A, B, or C prisoners because of their own deeds. The Lord is impartial to all circumstances of the sufferings of the living entities, but to one who takes shelter at his lotus feet, the Lord gives proper protection, and he takes such a living entity back home, back to himself. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om jnana timidam dasya gyananjana shalaka chakshun militam jena tasmai sri gurave namah. Mukham karoti vachalam panglam vahe degrim yad kivadam amande sri gurum dina tarinam. I guess we're still trying to struggle with our projection there, but that's okay. This is a continuation of the previous verse, in which it's very nicely pointed out here by Shukadeva Goswami that who else but gross materialists would neglect such transcendental thought? Who else but someone who's totally delusional would not be interested in something which is to his highest benefit? Natevidu sartagadim hi vishnu durashayi bhartamanina. The very nice instruction given there by Prahlad Maharaj is that the materialistic persons, they don't know what is to their highest benefit. And they're blind to the remedy for their sufferings. Instead, they're being led by someone or something without considering where they're going. Just like there's a video that came out some time back about lemmings. Does anyone know what a lemming is? It's a little rodent, right? And it lives in the Arctic. And there's a video, although actually this video was manufactured. It wasn't for real. But it's a common video that's shown about the mindlessness or the suicidal sort of tendencies of lemmings, that they walk to the edge of a cliff and they jump in. Actually, it happens, but the circumstances behind it are a little bit dubious. The video shows how the lemmings walk in a large group, and they come to the edge of a cliff, and they're looking to see what's at the edge there. They may see some water, and they're thinking that, well, let's jump into the water and we'll swim onto the other side and we'll find what we're looking for. So as they're standing there on the edge, the lemmings who are in the rear keep on walking, right? And they crowd those who are in the edge, and then they fall in. They jump in. The video shows that. And then seeing this, the ones who then are pushed to the edge, they see, oh, okay, it's all right. Let's just jump in also. So they jump in. And like this, thousands actually, tens of thousands of them die. They jump into the water and they swim out a little ways, and then, not knowing they're in a gigantic body of water, they perish. So, although this video tries to portray the lemmings as just some suicidal or mindless little creatures, actually they're not. They're quite intelligent. They know how to survive. But this video falsely portrays them as being some mindless little creature. But it's the fact is, and the comparison is that just as the materialists are out and about trying to enjoy themselves, and they see in the media or they see in the marketplace, they see someone who, quote-unquote, looks happy. They have their car, or they may have their consort, or they may have their dress, or they may have their intoxication. And we're thinking, this is a very wonderful condition. This person is happy. I've been happy. I've been struggling like crazy to be happy, and I'm just not there. I just need to get whatever that person is getting. So in this way, they become deluded, delusional, into thinking that, maybe there is some kind of happiness up there in the front of the line. So let me push myself to the front of the line. And then what happens? Everyone just falls into a ditch. So that's Devidu Swarthigatam Hi Vishnu. These persons who are totally engrossed in the bodily concept of life, they don't see that their destruction is having accepted this material body. Their suffering condition is a result of having accepted this material body. And thus they're led by other blind people. And they all fall into the ditch. not knowing anything better. So Srila Prabhupada points out here, or in the very nice, in this verse, Prabhupada points it out in the purport, but in the verse here, it's described that who else but some gross materialist, somebody who's totally enamored by such a condition of life, would neglect transcendental knowledge and take to the non-permanent things as they fall into the river. Naivodvije paradaratarya vaitaranyas. Prahlad Maharaj describes this as the river Vaitarani, as is described here in the verse. The mass of people fall into the river of suffering. That river of suffering, Srila Prabhupada points out here in the purport, is the river Vaitarani. And just in a river where there are so many dangerous aquatics and dangerous conditions, right? If you go into certain rivers, certain bodies of water, you don't know what's out there. Yeah, there's always some kind of news clip about some person who's out there floating along in the water or on his surfboard or wherever, and all of a sudden something comes up and takes off a limb. So the material world is a place of suffering where there are many dangerous aquatics and dangerous conditions, karma, jnana, yoga. There are many, many allurements in which one can fall into this trap, and to think that this condition is a very normal thing, and one should just work hard and try to work through it, so to speak. Eventually things will change, right? Let's continue playing the lotto, because you're bound to win, even though it's one out of, you know, the odds are of 1 to 10 billion that you'll win anything. But still, the mind is concocting this idea that, well, you know, you're bound to win. Just look at how many other people have won, right? They have the advertisements. They think there's this thing called Publishers Clearinghouse. Anyone ever heard of that? Right? And they send you out these advertisements that now is your chance to win $5,000 a week for the rest of your life. And then they show, of course, no one's ever won it, but they'll show one or two clips of some person who supposedly won something. And that was maybe 5 years ago or 10 years ago. So the odds of winning are so slim, slim to none. So attraction here in this material world is just like that. The chances of enjoying in this material world are slim to none. And whatever enjoyment is there is totally spoiled. It's spoiled. It's just like having a nice plate of prasadam, and you take the sweet rice. It looks good, but then when you taste it, instead of having the sugar in it, someone has put in salt. Somebody mentioned this the other day in class when Srila Prabhupada sampled some prasadam. This actually happened. I was there in 75 in Chicago another time when Srila Prabhupada was there in on the Vyasasana. And the devotees had kirtan, guru puja after class. Prasadam was brought. The Didi Mahaprasad was brought to Srila Prabhupada, and he took a taste of the halava. And he said, "Who cooked this?" So they said, "Well, so it's such and such. Bring the cook here." So they brought the cook before Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada asked the cook, did you make this halva? Do you understand that you put in salt instead of sugar? And the person said, oh, well, Krishna's mercy. And Prabhupada got blistering hot. He said, no, it's your foolishness. He got so angry. So this material world is like that. We may think that, oh, well, this preparation is going to be really nice. This is something that I haven't had or that will really be the icing on the cake. But then when we taste it, it's very bitter. Instead of being a pleasing experience, it becomes totally disappointing. Totally disappointing. And Prabhupada points this out here in the purport, where it is said that the persons who are attached to the demigods, to the exclusion of the personality of Godhead, are like animals who follow herdsmen even though they are taken to the slaughterhouse. The Bhagavad Gita explains, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who are whose minds are deluded, overcome by material desires, they worship the demigods. But their enjoyments are temporary and very limited. You may get it. You may get some kind of satisfaction for a short bit. Oh, I have a little bit of gratification, money or something. I have a little bit of youth. But in short time, all of that is taken away. Your youth is taken. Your intelligence is taken. It's a common thing, quite an interesting phenomenon that now there is so much of this dementia going on in society. It's a result of people's habits. It's not an accident because they're engaged in so many illicit activities. They're losing their minds. And here is also pointed out that it's just like the animals, that even they may be taken by their caretakers, by the herdsmen, right? The animal gives faith. It has faith in the herdsmen. And the herdsman is taking them along. And just like if you go to a slaughterhouse, if you've never been, if you go to a slaughterhouse, the animals, they line up inside the pathway where the two rails are, and the animals are herded along there. And along the way, they may get something to eat even. But along the way, they're just being pushed along, and they're thinking that this is fine. We're just filing one by one until finally you get to the very end or the beginning of the line where the animal is immediately slaughtered. And the one just behind sees and becomes terrified, but it's too late. It's too late. You're already trapped. Your death is imminent. So, just like that, the materialists are filing along little by little, step by step. We'll have some pleasure in this world, but then when the time comes, it's too late. It's too late. You're on the edge, and you're already being pushed over the edge. Just like the lemmings, they're being pushed over the edge, and then they have to swim for their lives, ultimately perishing. So, such materialistic persons, they may take shelter of the demigods. The materialists, like animals, also do not know how they are being misdirected. They're being misdirected. by neglecting the transcendental thought of the Supreme Person. No one can remain vacant of thought. It is said that an idle brain is a devil's workshop. Thoughts have to be there, certainly. And we all have experience of how sometimes thoughts just bubble up all of a sudden for no reason. This, of course, we understand is to be something from a past experience. That sometimes something invades our meditation. We're trying to fix our minds upon Krishna, but then all of a sudden we're thinking of something way off in a distant place. By that bad association, our minds have become polluted. And that is the case with the materialistic persons who are engaging in this worship of the demigods. Antavattu palam teshan tadbhavati alpamedasam. Their intelligence has been polluted. It's lost. It's been taken away due to that bad association. So it's paramount for the devotee of the Lord to be always in that good association. If we don't have that good association, then when the time comes, when that critical moment comes, instead of thinking about Krishna and Krishna's pastimes, we're thinking and dreaming at night of nonsense, things that have just no relation, no sanity to them, and no purpose, and simply cause us anxiety. So the materialists are engrossed like this. They're overcome like this. They're overcome by material desires, thinking that if I engage in these sensory activities, that I'll become happy. But they don't understand that because of their activities, they've accepted this miserable material body, nuna pramatu kuru devi karma, yad indriya pritaya apranoti. They've had to accept this material body as a result of their past misdeeds, and now they're stuck into this situation. And therefore, it's not intelligent, as Prabhupada points out here. An intelligent person who can properly look, who may properly look into the general conditions of living entities, who are wandering in the cycle of 8,400,000 species of life. So it's incumbent upon the intelligent persons, those who have some spiritual vision, some spiritual understanding, to stop that cycle, to stop it. And of course, the process of Krishna consciousness, bhakti yoga, is all designed to do that. It's designed to help us to give to not give any fuel to those material desires which are burning there within the hearts and which are confusing our minds. It's quite the opposite. It's meant to fuel that spiritual and water that devotional seed so that it grows up into a very strong plant and can withstand the attacks of weather and climate and drought. Right? There's so many plants now that you can find which are drought resistant. So also we have to become resistant to the allurements of this material world. If one is not careful, then one will become attracted by here as described so nicely as the gross materialists are attracted by their karmic activities, by their activities for or endeavor for knowledge, or their mystic yoga practices. These are all distractions, and they're not actually fulfilling the living being's desires. Instead, it becomes a source of anxiety and misery. So It is said that there is an everlasting belt of water called the River Vaitarani, which is there at the entrance of the Plutonic planet, where the living being has to go through various sufferings. It's a training field where you're prepared in various ways to for your next body, right? So one lives in a very hellish condition, very hellish, but it's only there so that you can, that you're trained up, so that when you have to accept that that gross body, whatever it is, maybe it's a worm, maybe it's a bird, or maybe it's this or that, but you're going through all sorts of various sufferings, and it's a training period in which you're being prepared. The mind and the consciousness is being prepared for that next material body. And sometimes it may be a very elevated body, as Prabhupada points out here. Some of them are in heaven, and some of them are in hell. Some of them are brahmanas, and some of them are misers. What is that verse? Jaganya guni brittista adho gacchanti tamasa. What is the first line of that? Urdvam gacchanti sattvasta madhe tishtani rajasa. Jaganya guni brittista adho gacchanti tamasa. So one may be fortunate, if you want to call it. You still have a material body. You're still subjected to death. One may get a position where you may be in a very heavenly situation. But still, you have to die. There's still struggle even there. The demigods and the demons are constantly fighting. They're constantly being attacked. Or one may come to the Madhye Tishtani Rajasa, the middle planets, where the suffering is more intense. Old age disease is more intense. Or one can go to the hellish regions where you have to live as some in some terrible dark condition as a snake or worm in some abominable place. But all of these places are the same. Krishna explains that in Bhagavad Gita, right? Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. Whether it's A, B, C prisoners, suffering is there. Whether you're A prisoner, B class, or C class, you're always having to go through the same thing. And they're all having to suffer for their own deeds. It's not that the Lord is... Has inflicted these miseries upon the living beings. No, it's only due to their own past misdeeds that we've had to accept these miserable conditions. The Lord, as Prabhupada points out here, is impartial. Samham sarvabhuteshu. Krishna is impartial. But he's inclined to those who render service to him. So, we may be in whatever condition, simply have to remember, whatever condition we are in, simply we have to remember that if we engage in Krishna's service, Krishna will help. That it's not some situation where we're being neglected or uncared for. No, Krishna is looking out for all of us. He's certainly a most loving father. And if we simply engage to whatever capacity you can, whatever you can do for Krishna, Krishna takes that into account and helps. As Prabhupada points out here in the purport, the Lord gives proper protection, and he takes such living entity back home, back to himself. So we'll end there. Are there any questions or comments? Jai. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
We are collecting, so I have to...